Thank you, Bill. Okay, so we are looking at 1 Samuel chapter 24 today, and it has 22 verses, and the theme here is David spares Saul's life. In today's study, we shall look at how David displayed incredible grace as he spared the life of King Saul in the cave of Engedi. This is because David had respect for the Lord's anointed in spite of the pressure by his men. As a result, he overcame evil with good. Romans chapter 12, verse 11, verse 19 to 21 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." So let's look at Saul went after David in the cave of Engedi. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. "And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of Engedi." As we have stated in previous studies, Saul represents our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world or Babylon, who have been rejected of ruling with Christ at the coming age, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Saul returning from fighting the Philistines in verse 1 shows us that during our time in Babylon, we did win some victories over our flesh. In other words, we started off our walk with Christ on a good note in Babylon. However, over time, through imbibing false doctrines propagated in Babylon, we were hindered from obeying the truth. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7 to 9. "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion comes not of him that called you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump." David signifies the Lord's elect. Engedi was a vibrant freshwater oasis situated in the harsh Judean desert. The name Engedi means fountain or spring of the young goat. In the Bible, young goats represents the Lord's elect. Therefore, David being in the wilderness of Engedi in verse 1 implies that although we are in this world of wilderness as the Lord's elect, we are favored to have access to the truth of the Lord's word, that is the fountain signified by Engedi. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, "But we ought always to give thanks to God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruit to be saved through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth." Saul being told that David was in the wilderness of Engedi was of the Lord, who was using Saul as his instrument of judgment of David. This shows us that the Lord uses our brothers and sisters of the church system of this world to judge us, his elect, for the destruction of our flesh. For example, the Lord used the Jews to persecute the Lord's disciples in the early church. Acts chapter 8, verse 1 says, "On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem, and all except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria." 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 14 to 15. "For you, suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets and drove us out. Acts chapter 13, verse 50. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from their region. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 2. Then Samuel took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. The number 3,000 on a negative note denotes the lost people who have fallen away. It therefore represents our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world or Babylon. David taking 3,000 men out of Israel to pursue David and his men shows us that it is our fallen brothers and sisters in the church system of this world whom the Lord uses to persecute us. Exodus chapter 32, verse 28. That is to show the significance of the number 3,000 on the negative note. And the sons of Levi did according to the word of Moses. And that day, about 3,000 men of the people fell. Joshua chapter 7, verse 4 says, so about 3,000 men went up there from the people, and they fled before the men of Ai. It is also significant to note that Saul and his men sought David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. Rocks in the Bible can signify our hiding place from the judgment of the Lord. In other words, rocks represents our natural attempts to avoid the judgment of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter 13 verses is that when the men of Israel saw that they were in the street, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Revelation chapter 6, verse 15 and 16 says, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every freedman hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountain and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. So rocks is where we, I mean, when we try to avoid, we naturally want to avoid the judgment of the Lord. As we are aware, we, his elect, are the wild goats which were set free into the wilderness to suffer, to complement the suffering of Christ. Leviticus chapter 16, verse 9 and 10. And Aaron shall bring the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the Lord fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and to let him go for the scapegoat into the wilderness. Colossians chapter 1, verse 24. Who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. 1 Samuel 24, 3. And he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave, and Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. On his journey to where David and his men were, Saul came across several sheepfolds on the side of the road. And one of them was built near the entrance to the cave where David and his men were hiding at the back. In this case, the cave represents where we die to the flesh. Genesis chapter 23, verse 11. Nay, my Lord, hear me. The field give I thee, and the cave that is therein, I give it there in the presence of the sons of my people, give I it thee. Bury thy dead. Genesis chapter 23, verse 20 says, and the field and the cave that is therein were made sure unto Abraham for a possession of a burying place for the sons of Heath. So the cave represents the place of putting up of our flesh. Yes. Saul relieving himself in the cave means that our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world despise the Lord's judgment of our flesh, which leads to the death of our flesh. At a certain time of our walk with the Lord, we also despise the Lord's judgment, leading to the death of our flesh. Psalm 107, verse 10 and 11 says, some sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, prisoners in affliction and chains, because they rebel against the words of the Lord and despise the counsel of the Most High. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 4 to 7. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thy enemy into thy hand, and thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. In the midst of the men, in the minds of the men of David, in the men with David, they thought that the Lord had given David, Saul, to David to be murdered. However, David only cut off the skirt of Saul's robe as evidence to show Saul that he had the opportunity to kill him, but refused. David cutting off the skirt of Saul's robe signifies that the kingdom of Israel has been taken away from Saul and given to David. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 27 and 28. And as Samuel turned about to go away, he, that is Saul, laid upon the skirt of his mantle, and it rent. And Samuel said unto him, the Lord has rent the kingdom of Israel from thee this day, and has given it to the neighbor of thine that is better than thou. So that is where David cutting off the skirt means that, yes, the kingdom has been taken from Saul and given to him, David. Spiritually, we, his elect, have been chosen to reign with Christ at the expense of our brothers and sisters in Babylon. As we shall see later in the study, Saul himself confirmed David's rulership when David showed him the cut skirt. In other words, we, his elect, have obtained mercy in this age at the expense of our brothers and sisters in Babylon. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32 says, for as you in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. In verse 5 and 6, David later regretted for cutting off Saul's skirt, because he regarded Saul as the Lord's anointed, and therefore he thought that he should not have stretched forth his hand against him. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 20 to 22 says, and when they, that the people of Israel, went from nation to nation, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm. David's regret shows that he trembled at the word of the Lord and wanted to be obedient to it. On the other hand, the men with him were not yet trembling at the word of the Lord. This indicates their spiritual immaturity at that time of their walk with Christ. We all came to the body of Christ, of the Lord's elect, in our immature state, where we were given the meat of the word of the Lord's word to grow through what every joint supplies. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14 to 16. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. As indicated in verse 7, David, as the leader, enjoined his men to have regard for the Lord's anointed. His men, therefore, did not rise up against Saul as he left the cave. As the Lord's elect, we must tremble at the word of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 66, verse 5 says, hear the word of the Lord, you that tremble at his word. Your brethren that hated you, that cast you out of my name's sake, said, let the Lord be glorified, but he shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. David confronts Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 8. David also arose afterwards and went out of the cave and cried after Saul, saying, my Lord the king. And when Saul looked behind him, David stooped with his face to the earth and bowed himself. It is instructive to note that it was when Saul looked behind him that he saw David bowing to him. It signifies that it is when we look back that we see ourselves as the Lord's elect, submitting to the dictates of the leadership of the church system of this world, or Babylon, when we started our walk with Christ. That was the time that we were swayed by every wind of doctrine and by the clever cunning of men in their deceitful scheming. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 24:9. And David said unto Saul, wherefore hearest thou man's word, saying, behold, David seek thy head? In verse 9, David's assertion that Saul listens to men is the reason why he wanted to kill him. This implies that when we substitute the word of truth for the lies perpetuated by men, we end up hating the Lord's elect as we blame them for our troubles. These doctrines of men lead to envy, hatred, and murder of the true sons of God. It is through these doctrines of men which led the leadership of the church system of Jesus' day to hate and murder him. Matthew chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. These people draw near unto me with their mouth, but honor me and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Colossians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Beware, lest any man spoil you through philosophy and through vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. As he is, so are we. It is the same doctrines of men which cause our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world to hate us and consider us as dead in the streets of Jerusalem. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7 and 8. And when they shall have finished their testimony, the beast that ascends after the bottomless pit shall make war against them and shall overcome them and kill them. And their dead bodies shall lie in the streets of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. 1 Samuel 24, 10 to 13. Behold, this day thy eyes have seen how the Lord has delivered thee today into my hand in the cave, and some bade me kill you. But my eye spared thee, and I said, I will not put forth my hand against my Lord, for he is the Lord's anointed. Moreover, my father, see, yea, see the skirt of thy robe in my hand, for in that I cut off the skirt of thy robe and killed thee not. Know thou and see that there is neither evil nor transgression in my hand, and I have not sinned against thee. Yet thou huntest my soul to take it. The Lord judge between me and thee, and the Lord avenge me of thee, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As says the proverb of the ancients, wickedness proceed from the wicked, but my hand shall not be upon thee. As David mentioned to Saul, our brothers and sisters of the church system of this world think that the Lord's elect or the church of the firstborn poses a threat to their reigning with Christ. Throughout the Bible, there were many instances of our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world considering us as the problem and not the solution. For example, Cain killed Abel, thinking that Abel was the problem. Esau hated Jacob and wanted to kill him because he thought that Jacob has robbed him of his inheritance. The Jews killed Jesus, thinking he posed a threat to their traditional way of worship. In the same manner, the Jews wanted to kill Paul and the Lord's disciples because they thought they were the problem. Acts chapter 17, verse 5 and 6 says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them, that is Paul and Silas, out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither here also. Romans chapter 11, verse 7 to 10. What then? Israel had not obtained that which she seek for, but the election has obtained it, and the rest were blinded. I think that is the main cause of our hatred. According as it is written, God has given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, and ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare and a trap and a stumbling block and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened that they may not see and bow down their back always. As David stated in verse 12, our hands are not upon our brothers and sisters in Babylon. They do not recognize that it is the Lord who has the prerogative to show mercy to whom he wants to show mercy in this age. Romans chapter 9, verse 13 to 16. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that wills, nor of him that runs, but of God that shows mercy. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 15. The Lord therefore be judge, and judge between me and thee, and see, and plead my cause, and deliver me out of thy hand. The Lord is indeed the judge who pleads our cause and delivers us from those that he uses to afflict us. As we know from the word of the Lord's deliverance makes a way for us to escape the trial as he grants us the grace to bear it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. the reason the Lord may not immediately stop the affliction he brings on us, he brings our way, but gives us grace to bear it, is that he wants the affliction to accomplish a specific purpose in our lives in terms of learning more righteousness. This is what David learned later in his life through the afflictions the Lord brought on him, using David as his instrument of judgment. Psalm 109, verse 91, 71 to 70, then from 74 to 75. It is good for me, that is David speaking, that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Verse 74, they that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hope in thy word. I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 16 and 17. And it came to pass, when David has made an end of speaking these words unto Saul, that Saul said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And Saul lifted up his voice and wept. And he said to David, "Thou art more righteous than I, for thou hast rewarded me good, whereas I have rewarded thee evil." It seems in verse 16 and 17 that Saul repented of his actions against David at that time, and went on to declare David as being more righteous than him. As we can see later in the review of this book of Samuel, even after this encounter, he continued to pursue David to kill him. What this is showing us is that repentance alone is not enough. We must bring forth the fruit which is commensurate with our repentance. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, "We have Abraham to our father." For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children after Abraham. 1 Samuel 24, 18 and 19. And they shall show this day how that thou hast dealt well with me, for as much as when the Lord has delivered me into thy hand, thou killed me not. For if a man find his enemy, will he let him go well away? Wherefore the Lord reward thee good, for thou hast done unto me this day. These verses imply that as the Lord's elect, we must do good, even when evil is meted out against us. Romans chapter 12, verse 17, and then from 19 to 21. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. Verse 19 to 21 says, "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in doing so, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." As Peter stated, we must add to our faith virtue or moral excellence if we are to be assured of the reward of reigning with Christ. Moral excellence encompasses doing good to even those who do evil against us. 2 Peter 1:5 says, "And beside this, giving all diligence, add to thy faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge." David is assured of the kingship. 1 Samuel chapter 24, verse 20 to 22. "And now, behold, I know well that thou shalt surely be king, and that the kingdom of Israel shall be established in thy hand. Swear now, therefore, unto me by the Lord, that thou wilt not cut off my seed after me, and that thou wilt not destroy my name out of my father's house." And David swore unto Saul, and Saul went home. But David and his men got them up into the hold. From verse 20 we see that the Lord was assuring David through the mouth of Saul that he will reign as the king, as king of Israel. Just as the Lord said of the servant who hid the one talent, that out of his own mouth he will judge him. Saul admitting that David will become king, a test of our reign over our brothers and sisters in the church system of this world, when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Luke chapter 19, verse 22 says, "And he said unto him, Out of thy own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an earthen man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow." David swearing to Saul not to cut off his seed and that he will not destroy his name out of his father's house shows us that we are the saviors of our brothers and sisters in Babylon in the fullness of time. In other words, we, his elect, shall not cut off any of the lost people who have gone astray. We shall be merciful to them, even as the Lord has shown us mercy. Romans chapter 11, verse 30 to 32. "For as you in time past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God has concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all." Obadiah 1:21. "And saviors shall come up on Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdoms shall be the Lord's. May the name of the Lord be praised for his wonderful plan of salvation." Amen.